And we begin, and here we have a song again.
Vehi she amda velanu shelo echad bilvad amadaleinu lechalotenu shelo echad bilvad amadaleinu lechalotenu ela shebechol dovado omedim aleinu lechalotenu ela shebechol dovado עומדים עלינו לחלותינו, והקדוש ברוך הוא מצילנו מידם, והקדוש ברוך הוא מצילנו מידם. It is this that has stood by our... I can't sing it. He she yamda ve he she yamda.
And this the promise says, it is this that for our fathers and for us, for not only one has risen against us to destroy us. In every generation there are those that so rise against us.
We hold the glass of wine as we sing this song. We're saying this is what stood for our forefathers, this is what stood for us. It wasn't only one who came upon us to destroy us. Every generation, people are coming to destroy us, and Hashem saves us from their hands. This is what stood for us. Nothing else. Not a great Tzahal, not a great army, not a great diplomat at the UN. Not saying one shouldn't try to use natural means to save himself. But at this point in the Haggadah, we remind ourselves what saved us from Haman. Not that we had Esther as the queen. What saved us from Antiochus? Not that we had great generals, the Maccabeans. What saved us from Pharaoh? Not that we had a great leader, Moshe. The one common thread that saved us throughout the generations, in every generation, is the fact that Hashem saves us from their hands. Now again, we put down the cup of wine so we can uncover the matzahs, because we're telling the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim over the matzahs. And we record how go out and learn how Lavan wanted to harm Yaakov, our forefather. Paro only wanted to wipe out the males. Lavan wanted to kill everyone. Like we know, when Yaakov left Lavan early, or before Lavan was ready for it, Lavan gave chase. He was ready to kill Yaakov and the whole family. And here we expound on all this. We discuss how the Egyptians... I'm skipping down now. Just one more point on this. There is an opinion that says that this concept of matchil begnut umseim b'shvach, that we begin with our shame and we end with our praise, begins over here with Arami Oved Avi. How we record in the time of Yaakov.
Arami
Oved Avi. Right after the Vehi Shanda, we discuss how love and Arami wanted to wipe out our forefather Yaakov. Now we're going to skip down to the pasuk. Vayareu otanu amitzrim. The Egyptians did bad to us. Vayeanunu, and they tortured us. Vayitenu aleinu avodah kasha. They gave harsh work upon us. And then we expound on it. It wasn't mean they did bad to us. They said, let's get wise. Let's figure out what we do about these Jews. Huh? You're going to sleep. Have a good night. Don't forget a bracha achrona on the wine.
Are you ready to do it?
Okay. You want to make yourself a sandwich before you go? Out of the charoses tomorrow or something? Okay.
It's funny.
Vaya nunu, they tortured us, how they set up officers who were in charge of torturing the Jewish people, and the Jews were in charge of building the special cities of storage. And they gave upon us harsh work, like the pasuk records, that they gave us back-breaking labor. Now, gentlemen, how much longer are you going to last? Because this isn't the Seder, so I don't know if you'll last till the end. So I have to know what to skip.
No, I lost a little.
Huh?
I lost a little.
You're?
I will last a little more.
A little more is 10 minutes, a half hour. Who's going to be here for a half hour now?
Half hour.
Who's going to be here for more than a half hour now?
I think they did.
So you guys could handle an hour also?
Sure.
Yeah?
Okay. You can handle it, we can handle it.
Yeah.
And we have our sub-question from the...
Definitely can handle it.
Wings. Sure.
I don't know what you're referring to. Now we hit a section in the Agada where the Agada quotes verses and then expands on each word in the verse. So, if you'll go with me, we'll read it and explain it. There's a lot to expand on what we're reading. We could sit here and talk all night just to understand what we're saying. I'm giving the most simple understanding because first we should get that. If we'll have time, maybe between now and Pesach, we'll expand beyond that. Now, do you want me to read the Hebrew and then translate, or do like I'm doing until now, just translate? Who wants me to read the Hebrew first? No one. Okay, so I'll just go with the English. I'm just going to quote the verse each time. Vanitzak el Hashem Elokei Avoteinu וישמע השם את קולנו, וירא את עוניינו, ואת עמלנו ואת לחצנו. And we called out to Hashem, the God of our forefathers, and Hashem heard our voice, and He saw our oppression, He saw our affliction, He saw how we were burdened and pressed by the Egyptians. And now we expand. We cried out to Hashem, the God of our fathers, just as the verse states that in those days the Egyptian king died and the Jewish people groaned from the harsh work and they cried out to Hashem and their plea went up to Hashem from the work. Hashem heard their voice, just as the verse says, Hashem heard their calling out and Hashem remembered His treaty with Abraham, Yitzhak and Yaakov. Hashem saw our affliction. This is how the men separated from their wives, just as the Pasuk says, Hashem saw the Jewish people and He knew, which our sages understood to mean, He knew what no one else could know. No one knows what's going on in the bedroom. God knows what's going on in the bedroom, if they're together or not. They were so oppressed that they couldn't even be with their wives. Ve'et amaleinu, God saw our burden. Those are the children. They said, every son that's born will be thrown into the Nile. So what's a greater burden than that? In our oppression, that's the pressure, that they pressured us. And just as God says, I see how the Egyptians are pressuring, oppressing the Jews. Now we have another quote, another verse. The verse says, V'yotzeinu Hashem mimitzayim v'yadchas gavzoam t'yom v'agadol u'vototu moftim. Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim with a strong hand, with an outstretched arm, with great awe and signs and wonders. God took us out of Mitzrayim, the Pasuk is stressing, not with an angel, not with an angel that's called the Seraph, not with a messenger, but Hashem, and then we rise in honor of Hashem. His honor Himself, just as the verse says, Hashem says, I will pass throughout Egypt this night, I will hit the firstborns of Egypt from man till animal, and all the gods of Egypt I will do justice, I am Hashem. So now we expand on this verse. God says, I will pass throughout the land of Egypt this night. I and not an angel. I will hit the firstborns of Egypt. I and not the angel called the Seraph. Throughout the gods of Egypt I will do justice. I and not a messenger. Hashem ends off by saying, I am Hashem. I am He. There is no other, God is saying. Now we return to the original verse we were discussing. We said God took out the Jewish people with a strong hand. What is that referring to? That's referring to the devil that God caused the animals to drop dead. The Egyptians' animals all dropped dead. That's God's strong hand. We said God took us out with an outstretched hand. That's like a sword, so to speak. God went with a sword like a brave warrior goes out to war. That's the outstretched hand with the sword. God took us out of Egypt with great awe. That's how God revealed Himself. As God records, He says, have you ever seen a nation that had such great miracles? God says at the end of the Torah. Has there ever been a God that did such an amazing thing to take one nation out from within another nation? There wasn't a war between two peoples. You had the Egyptians. And you had Jews who were looking like Egyptians. And suddenly God said, no, you're Jews and you're Egyptians, and you're going to leave, and you're going to stay. And God suddenly takes out one nation from within another nation, and they just leave. With all the miracles, the ten makos. God says, have you ever seen any God do such a great miracle? With all the great miracles that it included, with all the great wars, the Egyptians came to wipe you out, they chased after you, and they were wiped out. What, did you know how to fight a war? Have you ever seen anyone do like God did for the Jewish people in Mitzrayim? Your own eyes saw it, 600,000 people. The great signs, that's the staff. The staff did all the great signs. The staff turned to a snake, etc. And the wonders, that's the blood. Like God says, I will show wonders in the heavens and the earth. And now we begin taking out from our cup of wine. The custom is we take our finger. This is called the index finger, I think.
Pointer.
This is the index finger.
Really?
So I've seen people do it with the pinky. But,
what do you do, pointer? I mean, the index?
Yeah, with the index finger. You're supposed to do it with the index finger, even though.
What is this finger?
I missed something.
This is the thumb.
No, I don't.
This is the index finger, no?
No, I'm asking you, what's the name of this finger?
I don't know.
The middle finger. It's called the middle finger.
Which one's the index finger?
This one.
Then I'm completely wrong.
I don't know.
the
idea of taking with this finger is because we say that when God brought upon the plagues upon the Egyptians, initially the Egyptian warlocks tried to repeat every plague. They said, we could do that too. That's not godly. Until finally they were broken and they said, Etzba Elokim hi, it's a finger of God. So etzba is the index finger. They said, this is the index finger of God. So now when we speak about the makos, we take the index finger, we dip it in the wine, and we drop out. Now, I've always seen people take the pinky.
I understand. Hold on. We do this?
Yeah. What do we do? We're holding in the Haggadah where you have big letters, Dam ve'esh v'timrot ashan. Blood and fire and columns of smoke. Now, this is a pasuk in Treyasa. This is a pasuk in Yoel. But we quote it here.
Next to the cup, like here.
And we put it out on the plate or something. We say, Dam va'esh v'timrot ashan.
Oh, hold on. This is not the Dam Sephardiah.
We'll get to that.
Oh, okay. It's not
we're not yet holding there.
Dam va'esh v'timrot
ashan.
Ashan.
Now, afterwards, we explain another explanation. We had a long explanation explaining how we had one explanation explaining what this verse said. The verse says that God took us out of Egypt with a strong hand and outstretched arm with great awe, signs, and wonders. So we expanded one understanding of that. And we ended that understanding saying God took us out with wonders. And then we quoted this pasuk that states, "V'natati moftim, I will place wonders in the heaven and the earth." What are those wonders? The pasuk states, "Dam va'esh v'timrot ashan," blood and fire and columns of smoke. So the prophet in Yoel, when he enumerates, when he wants to say God will give, God gave wonders, he uses the term wonders to speak about blood. And that's why we say when God says he took us out of Egypt with wonders, that's referring to the makah of blood. And as we say, Dam v'esh v'timrot ashan, we take out the wine. Now, we're bringing another understanding of this verse. We're saying, Be'ad ha'zaka is two, Be'zoh ha'netuya is two, Mo'ah gadol is two. Each term that describes God great taking us out of Egypt refers to two. And they all come out. We have five descriptions. Each one is worth two. That brings us to the 10 plagues. And then we enumerate the 10 plagues that God brought on the Egyptians. And again, with each plague, we take out wine with our index finger. Dam, Tzfardea, Kinim, Arov, etc. We enumerate them. Dever, Shechin, Barad, Arbe, Choshech, Makat Bechorot. Rabbi Yehuda and them simanim. Rabbi Yehuda would give signs to remember them. Detzach, Adash, Be'achav. Those are anacronyms. Twice in Shas we have anacronyms. Both times it's Rabbi Yehuda who says, I'll give you an acronym, an easy way to remember it. Mentioned in the Mishnah. Yeah.
Yeah, the Sephardics, they take some wine, and water, and they do together.
They pour it like that?
They pour it like that. They pour it into the thing, and then they get rid of the thing. Yeah, they go down to Vadea with water and wine.
Okay. We should never know of days of blood libels. But in times of blood libels, people were very careful to use only white wine at the Seder, not to leave room for anyone to say anything. And the charoses also, you don't want little red trickles. Even the wine and blood can't be interchanged. But if you have to live at a time where people are saying we're doing all kinds of aberrations, then you have to make sure that they have no room to lay any claims. And then people were very careful to have white wines. They didn't want to have red stains on the tablecloth from red wine. At the Seder, you always have wine spilling. They didn't want people walking in and saying, ooh, you have red stains on your agoda or on your tablecloth. So people were very careful to use white wine. And I hope no one here has to worry about that. But you should know that that's something that was in our history. And now we have different Tanoic quotes that expound on how much each mako was worth. They derive it from different verses, how much God smote the Egyptians. We're showing our appreciation. God did so much for us. He did this many makos. And then we say, no, each mako incorporated within it so many more. It was worth so much more. It was equal this much or that much. Or, and that you could read in English. And because we're showing our hakarat tov, we're showing our appreciation on this night. We're thanking God for the what he did to us. So we sing a song in which we recount how much thanks we have to extend God. Kama malot tovot l'makom aleinu ilu ilu otzianu mimitzayim lo asabarim shvatim dayenu If God would have only taken us out of Egypt and not given all these judgments against the Egyptians, it would be enough for us to sit this whole night and thank him. If God would have not done the punishments, if God would have punished them and not punished their gods, it would be enough to thank God. If God would have only wiped out their gods and not destroyed their firstborns who were their priests, that would be enough. Or their firstborns were also a form of God. If God would have killed the firstborns and not given us all their wealth, that would be enough to thank God, to spend this night thanking God. I'm doing solo. If God would have given us their money and not split the sea for us, without that great miracle, we would have still had to thank God. If God would have split the sea, but not made us go through it in dry land, just the miracle of seeing that sea split would be enough to thank God. Oh, I'm sorry. No. Good that you told me, so go slower. No, you're right. I'm sorry. I didn't realize that's why you're... I'm sorry.
Can you give me a napkin, too?
So let's go slowly. If God would have passed us through in dry land and not sunk the Egyptians in the Yamsuf, that would be enough to thank God just because he passed us through the dry land. If God would have done the miracle of drowning the Egyptians in the Yamsuf, but wouldn't have sustained us 40 years in the desert, that would be enough to thank God. Ilusipek tzorkenu bamidbar 40 shana velo he'echilanu et hamandayenu. Ilu he'echilanu et haman velo natananu et hashabat dayenu. God would have sustained us in the desert for 40 years and not fed us the man, that would be enough. If God would have fed us the man and not given us the great Shabbos, that would be enough to thank God. Ilu. What do you mean?
Would have been sufficient, but he did.
It would have been sufficient to thank him, to show appreciation for what he did, even if he wouldn't have given us Shabbos.
But the going out of Egypt is that we, like with the Egyptians, we should have worked 7 days more or less. So.
I'm not following
you. Speak about freedom and everything that happens. Anyway, also, I mean, we thank him for that we were freed from slavery. That's
only the name. It's like you're getting like a full tank car from your parents, and if you would just have been gotten the petrol, it would still be enough to thank them.
What kind of car?
I think that we're trying to enumerate so many great favors that God did to us that we have to thank him.
Mm-hmm. And even if he only did that, even if he didn't give us
Shabbat, that's what I understand.
Yeah.
Not as even as Shabbat.
Well, Shabbat is considered not just a day off from work. Shabbat is what God tells Moshe. He says, Matana tova yesh li bevet ginzai v'shabbat shma. Our sages say God came to Moshe and said, I have a good gift in my storage houses. It's called Shabbos. Go tell the Jewish people I want to give them this. Shabbos is considered a gift. It's not just a day you don't work. There's much more to Shabbos than a day you don't work. So it's true. You're saying we said we would get free and not have Shabbos. Yeah, because getting free, you'd have your off day, but it wouldn't be Shabbos.
Yeah, and Shabbos was also more already given before we went to Egypt anyway.
I don't think it was given. I don't think so.
People did it.
People kept it. So people kept the whole Torah then. People ate matzah also. Avraham Avinu ate matzah before we entered Egypt, right? So, Ilu natan lanu et ha-shabbat ve-lo kevanu livnei ha-sinai dayenu Ilu kevanu livnei ha-sinai ve-lo Natan lanu et ha-Torah dayenu. If God would have given us Shabbos and not brought us to Sinai, that would be enough to thank him. If God would have brought us to Sinai and not given us the Torah, that would be enough to thank him. Ilu natan lanu et ha-Torah velo hichnisanu le-eretz Yisrael Dayenu Ilu echnisanu le'eretz Yisrael Ve'lo bana lanu et beit ha'bira Dayenu. If God would have given us the Torah and not brought us into the land of Israel, that would be enough to thank him. If God would have brought us into the land of Israel and not built us the chosen house, the temple, that would be enough to thank him. Certainly, after God did us so many wonderful things, God took us out of Egypt, he did judgments against them and their gods, and killed their firstborn, gave us their money, split the sea, brought us through it in dry land, sank the Egyptians in the sea, sustained us for 40 years in the desert, gave us the manti, gave us Shabbos, brought us near Sinai, gave us the Torah, brought us into the land of Israel, built for us the Beis HaMikdash to atone for our sins. Certainly we should thank him. From this point on, we are beginning to end the Maggid. We are nearing the end of the recounting of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. And from this point on, women should say every word. They should be called to the table. Ideally, they should say everything. We refill the cups. We're missing a little bit because of what we poured out. We don't pour this back in because we show that even though the Egyptians deserved it and they got what they deserved, and we thank God for what he did. Thank you very much. But that's it. But we leave it out, so to speak, something out to show we care. Rabban Gamliel Hayomer, Rabban Gamliel would say, any person who did not say the following three things on Pesach has not fulfilled his duty. What are the three basics that every person has to say? Part of the recounting of the story, Yetzias Mitzrayim, every person must say Pesach, Matzah, and Maror. And explain. Pesach, this is the Pesach we... Let's again. Pesach refers to the Korban Pesach that with our forefathers would eat at the time of the temple, that God says you bring a special sacrifice of Pesach. What does the word Pesach mean?
Passover.
What does Passover mean?
Passing over the houses.
Oh, we were living a Jew, non-Jew, Jew, non-Jew. And God passed over our homes. And that's why it's called Pesach, Passover. God passed over our homes. And God said the sacrifice is going to be called the sacrifice of passing over. The sacrifice is called the sacrifice of passing over, of skipping over. For God passed over the houses of the Jews in Egypt when he hit the Egyptians and saved our house, and the nation bowed in thanks. So that's the Pesach. We look at the piece of meat. We don't pick it up because we don't want to say, this is the Pesach. It's not the Pesach. You don't want people to think you're eating holy meat of the sacrifice nowadays outside the temple. So we don't pick it up. We just look at it and we say, that's why we have that here to signify the Pesach.
So we would either at the, in the temple grounds, we would bring to the house
that
he
has.
The
Pesach was brought in Jerusalem.
I know that they would come to sacrifices.
But they'd eat it in Jerusalem. They'd have to eat it in there.
In Jerusalem, like in a house in Jerusalem also.
They could eat in a house in Jerusalem.
Oh, okay, so we're in Jerusalem, so we can have.
Matzah. So we take this broken matzah, which is the main matzah lechem oni. We lift it up and say, son, this matzah that I'm eating, why am I eating it? Why am I eating? Because when I left Egypt, I was in a rush. It was time to go. God made us wait till day. And then the Egyptians said, get out of here, we're all going to die. Leave. And they rushed us out and I had to run. And I wanted to make good bread, but I didn't have time. So all I can make was this matzah that's made in such a short time. We didn't have time to let the dough rise. What's the special about matzah? The dough doesn't rise, right? Bread, the dough rises. You have fluffy dough. No, this is simple matzah cracker. It didn't have time to rise. We had to run. And we didn't have time to make any other food. And then we say, maror, these bitter herbs. Why am I having these bitter herbs? Why are we going to eat them? Because the Egyptians made our lives bitter. As the verse states, they made our lives bitter with hard work, with mortar, with bricks, any hard work they could find in the field, whatever. They made them work hard work with backbreaking labor. And this, every person has to say. Bechol dor v'dor, every generation, chayav adam lirot et atzmo, every person has to visualize himself, kiruhu atzmo, as though he himself went out of Egypt. As the verse states, v'igatar v'incha b'yom ulemo, tell your son on that day, saying the following, b'avu ze, because of this, asa Hashem li, God did to me, you're saying as though it happened to me, that's why I keep telling you, you're going to tell your kids as though it happened to you. Tell your kids, because of this, God did to me, when I left Egypt. It's not that our forefathers alone got saved, but us too got saved. As the verse says, God took us out of there to bring us, to give us this land that he promised our forefathers.
So this part, starting from the plow, everyone says the same thing?
Everyone should say everything.
Right, and they should be reading it. The one person is usually reading out loud, and
right.
Reading themselves.
Oh!
Pesach,
Pesach, Pesach, brother, Pesach. Yeah, I can see. Rabbi Savage, come.
I'm here.
Why?
I'm
I can't
sit
up here with you back there.
I'm here with the guy.
There's
I have to drive home. I have to drive home.
There's grape juice.
And as is, the roads are going off tonight anyway.
What?
My wife went home, we had a wedding, and my wife went home with someone else so that I could come here. She said they're stopping every car and with a flashlight inside, they're searching for someone.
All right.
Omer wants to make sure there's no figla before his election.
Actually, they're looking for. He wants to make sure he stops all the cars with stickers that says, "All Mert is a criminal."
So there are two versions over here. Whether in each generation, one has to visualize himself. Or has to show himself. Liros is atzmo, to see himself, or leharos, to show himself. And the Sfaradim go with the girsa that's brought in the Rambam, that you have to show yourself, and that's why the Sfaradim have a minhag, that they eat the seder, girdled, like they're ready to go on a trip, they have a stick ready, they take the matzah, they take a sack over their shoulder, and the Sfaradim have discussed him, that one guy comes and knocks at the door, and Rabbi Savitch and I will do it together. I'm sorry. I've had a lot of wine.
It's good. Rabbi Savitz and I have good classmates.
Rav Siegel, you're gonna do this with me?
Sure.
Well, make believe I'm knocking at the door just so that the guys are listening have a left.
Who's that?
Where did you come from?
I came from Egypt.
Oh, and what did you bring with you?
I brought with me matzah. I brought with me the bread that I thought would be bread, but I couldn't. I didn't have time to bake it. I was rushed out of the land. They chased me out of there after years of work. This is the way they treat me. I left Egypt, and then I got these great gifts. God gave me the Torah and the mitzvot. And I'm such a rich person because everything God gave me. I've been traveling the desert for 40 years.
And so what do you have to share with us tonight?
You take over.
then we usually, in my Seder, that's the point of doing yachas.
Oh yeah?
Yeah. Bring in the matzah.
Yachas?
Okay. That, you mean, it, yeah. Wait, before? Yeah, 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 yeah.
I'm missing.
Okay.
Where's the yachas?
That's breaking the middle matzah.
We saw that in the beginning.
Oh, we did that.
Thank you. Okay, so that goes back to this verse, that in each generation a person has to see himself. So the Rambam's version and others is that a person has to show himself as though he himself left Egypt. Do you eat the meal with a... girdled and stick and everything?
No, just reclining.
Just reclining, okay.
You wear one of these white things?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
No, because they're listening doesn't. Not
yeah,
everyone has
it, you know, he's a
collector.
I'm a collector too.
I wear a kittel and a talis to say.
And a talis? Yemenites do that, no? Huh? Yeah.
I have from the most.
Yeah. And now we're going to lift the cup in honor of saying Hallel. And we lift it already at the introduction at the Lefichach. But the main point of holding the cup up is for the Hallel till we finish Magid now.
So
till we make the blessing, Bori Priagofen.
What?
We're about to hit a motzi, we're about to hit the meal.
Oh, hold on. I missed something. Yeah. Hold on, Hallel's back here, no?
That's the second half of Hallel. Tonight we split the Hallel in two.
Oh.
We start the Hallel here, and we end it after the meal.
Lefichach?
So we're at Lefichach.
All right.
So most people pick up the glass at Lefichach, and then they get tired when they hit Hallel, they put it down. But the main point of holding this glass is for the Hallel. Like we discussed, the four cups were established, each one connected to a different mitzvah. So the first cup was Kiddush, the second cup is... the cup we said Magid over,
mm-hmm.
and now we're ending Magid with a portion of Hallel. You're supposed to hold this cup to honor the first half of Hallel.
Just hold it, no drinking.
We're going to drink it at the end, when we end Magid. So now we say, therefore, after we've enumerated everything God did for us, Dayenu, Dayenu, it would have been enough to thank God just for this and that. Therefore, we have to thank God, praise God, give Hallel, Shevach, all different types of praise, exalt, honor, bless, extol, acclaim, Him who performed all these miracles for our fathers and for us. He took us out of slavery for freedom. He took us from grief to joy, mourning to festivity, darkness to great light, servitude to redemption. Let us therefore recite a new song before Him. Hallelujah! Blessed be God. What is Hallelujah? Hallelujah, praise. Yud-ke, praise. Hashem. And now we begin the Hallelujah. Which song? Rav, which song are we going to sing the Hallel for? I don't know this tune.
And then at the Mahan.
What's the action?
This night that we may eat matzah and maror, so Hashem our God and God of our fathers bring us also to future festivals and holidays in peace, gladdened in the rebuilding of your city and joyful at your service. There we shall eat of the offerings and Pesach sacrifices whose blood will gain the side of your altar for gracious acceptance. We shall then sing a new song of praise to you for our redemption and for the liberation of our souls. Blessed are you, Hashem, who has redeemed Israel. Now, on the night of the Seder, we make another blessing on the wine.
Another blessing on the wine?
Another Bar Priya Gafen.
Okay, but
if you're Ashkenazi.
If, yeah.
Oh, really?
Oh, you're right. You're Sephardi.
The Machaber doesn't.
But that's,
I forgot
about this. But hold on. We never did an after bracha for the first cup.
Correct. Correct. We will, you want to answer that now? Chava? We will discuss it in Yitzhem if we have a class tomorrow. We'll see what time we're in tonight. Oh. Hopefully we'll discuss it tomorrow. And then we make second blessing. We don't have to make blessing. We recline after the blessing, again, on our left side.
This is part, this is the best part.
And we drink our wine. Now we have finished Magid.
I actually, I'm going to have to leave to get on the road, but I want to share an idea from about.
Why don't you come speak here so we get recorded? We're on the web.
I don't cast images and mirrors. I don't record.
You're on the web. I've seen you. You have a beautiful class there. Prints, gems.
The stories that don't record. Lake Yitzchak Bardichev.